Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shivuos Daf Mem Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins three lines from the top of Daf Mem Aleph. You will notice a trapezoid or volcano shape and some numbering, 1, 2, 3, on the side of our Gemara under the Nosei Mivneh heading. The Nosei being the structural, the topic heading, and the Mivneh, a structural note. We combine them into one note here, and you see the volcano shape on the side, Deos. B'mai iko bein shvua d'raisa l'shvua d'rabbanan. Opinions as to what constitutes the difference between a Torah-based shvua and a rabbinic-based shvua. At the end of our previous shiur, we discussed a shvua's hesis. We saw Shitas Rav Nachman, that even though there was a case of kofir hakol, a total denial, which on a Torah level, when a claim is placed and the responder says, I don't owe anything, on a Torah level, he is exempt from taking a shvua. Rav Nachman said, we nevertheless impose a rabbinic shvua. So here, our Gemara wants to know on a practical basis, what differences are there? So now, the Gemara. My iko bein shvua d'raisa l'shvua d'rabbanan. What is the difference in practical terms between a shvua d'raisa, which is imposed when you have partial admission to a claim, versus a shvua d'rabbanan, which appears only in a case where on the Torah level there would have been no shvua, but nevertheless the rabbanan imposed a shvua. Iko binayu, a practical difference between them, mepach shvua. Literally, the switching over of an oath. If the one from whom the money was being collected, from whom it was being claimed, he says, you swear, you who are claiming from me, swear and collect. From the Torah standpoint, and this is something that will be pointed out and sourced later in our Masechta, from the Torah standpoint, the oath is taken by the one who is claiming non-debt, the one who is claiming, I don't owe. We call that shvua liftor. You swear to be exempt. You swear, the result of your swearing is exemption. So as in this case, mepach shvua is where the one who would have been swearing to then experience exemption is saying to the one claiming, listen, you swear and collect. So can that be done? B'doraisa lo mafchinun shvua. When you're dealing with a doraisa situation where the one being claimed from admits partial and denies partial, it's called modi b'mitzas, we don't switch the shvua onto the one laying the claim. B'darabonon, in a rabbinic situation where someone had totally denied owing money, and instead of him swearing to confirm his claim, I don't owe anything, mafchinon, we enable that to take place, where the one being claimed from, instead of swearing, I don't owe you anything, will have the shua switch to the one making his claim and saying, look, you swear that I owe you and I will pay. Ulamar Baravashi Domar Bidaraisa Nami Mafchinon Shvua, according to Mar Baravashi, that says even in a Torah situation of oath, the shvua can be switched to the one making the claim. My iko bein doraisa l'drabon. And according to Mar Baravashi, what practical difference is there between these two kinds of shvuas? Answer: iko beinayu mechas l'nichse. The point of this will be the ability to descend upon his properties. If a person says, I am not going to swear and I'm not paying anything, do we descend, does the court descend upon his properties to extract payment? B'doraisa nachtinon l'nichsei. In a Torah-based shvua situation, where someone says, I'm not swearing this Torah-required shvua, we, the court, will descend upon his properties to extract payment. B'dorabonon lo nachtinon l'nichsei. In the case of a rabbinic-based shvua that he refuses to take, we don't descend upon his properties. According to Rabbi Yossi, that says even in rabbinic situations where there's a rabbinic, we'll say a rabbinic necessity, there is descent upon properties. We skip the bracketed section momentarily just to maintain the flow. My iko bein doraisa the rabbanon. According to Rabbi Yossi, what is the difference? Where he says in both situations we descend upon his properties. The Gemara will then answer, Iko benayu shekeneg de choshir al ashvua. We'll, Mirtz Hashem, wait till we get there. Let's first read the bracketed section. Rabbi Yossi says that even in shvua de rabbonon situations where he refuses to swear, we will descend upon his properties. So, and now the background for Shitas Rabbi Yossi. Mitzias cherisheite v'katan, if a found article, someone finds something, and specifically a cherish, a deaf mute, a shoyt, an imbecile, or a katan, a minor, if they find something and they pick it up, a lost article, yesh bohem gezel mitnei darkei shalom, for some adult to come and swipe it away from them, that would constitute stealing. In order, a violation of theft, which on a Torah level, we don't say that they are truly in possession of it. But on a rabbinically speaking, stealing from them will cause strife. So therefore we say that you'll be in violation of theft, which in effect is a sin imposed so as to preserve peace and harmony. Rabbi Yossi Omer Gezel Gomor. Rabbi Yossi says stealing from them is total theft. The Omer of Chista Gezel Gomor Midivrehem. And Rav Chista says, when we speak about it being total theft, it means on a rabbinic level. Once again, on a strictly Torah level, a cheri sheita v'katan, these are people that are disqualified, they're inept, they're seriously lacking in capabilities, so they are not said to be empowered with actual possession of items. Nevertheless, Rabbi Yossi says that swiping away from them something they found will be considered complete theft on a rabbinic level. What is the difference between Rabbi Yossi's position and the Tanakhama's position, who also said there's an element of theft? Lamai nafgamina. What difference, what practical difference is there on the part of Rabbi Yossi that says it's complete gezel? Answer, lahotzio bidayonim. To extract from this person that stole from them through the court. So what we see here is Rabbi Yossi says in rabbinic situations, the court will get involved in extracting payment from someone who owes or who is obligated to pay, even if it's on a merely rabbinic level. So according to Rabbi Yossi, whether it's someone who doesn't want to swear a Torah-based oath or someone who does not want to swear a rabbinic-based oath, we will descend upon his properties and extract payment. My iko bein doraisa l'rabbonon. So where do you see a manifestation of a difference between a shvua doraisa versus a shvua d'rabbonon? Iko binayu shekenegdoi choshud al hashvua. The point of difference will manifest itself in a case where the nitba, the one who is expected to swear, is suspect of lying. And when you have a situation like that, we transfer the shvuah to the one who's making the claim. Bidoraisa shekenegdoi choshur ala shvuah, in a Torah situation where a Torah imposed oath is present. So where the nitba, where the one being claimed from who would have to swear, but he's suspect of lying, afchinon leishvua v'samu aidach, we switch the shvua off of him and place it on the other one, on the toveya. And the toveya, the one who is making the claim, will swear and collect. Bidurabonon, when you're dealing with a shvua whose origin itself is merely rabbinic, takantahi, in itself is a rabbinic enactment. V'takanto litakanto lo avdinon, an enactment to enable the toveya, the claimer, to swear, that itself is an enactment, a rabbinic enactment. As we mentioned earlier, swearing, as far as the Torah perception is concerned, is the one who is attempting to avoid payment. It's called nishba liftor, swears and becomes exempt from paying. That's the Torah type shvua. Here you're dealing with the transfer of a rabbinic shvua onto the toveya. That's a double rabbinic enactment, and a takanto l'takanto l'avdinu, we don't do that. To have a double layered rabbinic intervention. The Gemara continues, Ula Rabbonon de Pligi Ole de Rabbi Yossi. De Omru, Bid Rabbonon lo nachtinon l'nichse. According to the Rabbonon, now we saw a reference to them before when we introduced Rabbi Yossi. We said, according to Rabbi Yossi, even in rabbinic situations where the rabbinic oath needs to be taken, he doesn't want to swear, the court will descend upon his properties. Now, that was Rabbi Yossi's opinion that made no distinction between Doraisa and the Rabbonon. But according to the Rabbonon that disagree with Rabbi Yossi, that say that only in Doraisa recalcitrance do we descend upon his properties, but not so in a rabbinic resistance. So according to that opinion, the Rabbonon that argue with Rabbi Yossi, that say, b'derabbonon lo nachtinon l'nichse, my avdino le, so how do we deal with him? Here the guy doesn't want to swear to confirm his claim of innocence or his claim of non-payment. So how do we deal with him? Answer? Now, let's just go over a point we made already a couple of times. According to the Rabbonon, we don't descend upon his properties. Let us say that would be too much coercion, too much force when you're dealing with a merely rabbinic situation, a case of resisting swearing a rabbinic imposed oath. Okay, so the Rabbonon hold we don't descend upon his properties and forcibly extract payment. So what do we do? So the Gemara says, Mishamtina, we excommunicate him. No, Malay Ravina, the Ravashi. Ravina says to Ravashi, before we read on in the Gemara, the gist of what Ravina is going to tell us is putting him into Cherem is the ultimate coercive force. In other words, if the Rabbonon were portrayed before as being, we'll say, less forceful than Rev Yossi, and here we're explaining what the Rabbonon do. The Rabbonon say we'll put him in excommunication. By golly, there's no greater exertion of force than excommunication. And therefore, how could this possibly be the approach the Rabbonon would take? So now, we'll read the Gemara, And just maybe a slight disclaimer before we're going to read the Gemara, a coarse expression is going to appear in the Gemara. It might sound to many Western ears a bit street-like, but Torah hi v'lumud anitzorach, we have a line of Gemara and the Rashi that accompanies it, and it requires translation, so we're going to say the translation, but we do so with this, element of hesitancy, but nevertheless, you have to hear it once. Then, so what does Ravina say? Omar le Ravina le Ravashi. After hearing this suggestion that the Rabbonin would say, we excommunicate him, he responds and says, hi, well, that's an example of nakte bekofse denishpeke leglimehu. That's tantamount to grabbing him. Nakte is to grab him. Bekofse means grabbing a man by his testicles in order to force him to release his garment. Basically, as we said before, that's the exercising of extreme force to excommunicate someone in order deal with his recalcitrance. All right, so that having been said, Olamai Avdino, so what should we do? Here the guy doesn't want to take the oath, the rabbinic imposed oath. What should we do? Omale mishamtino le ad demoti zman nakde. We excommunicate him for 30 days until the time of lashing comes. Finagdinole, we lash him. Vishavkinole, and leave him be. So it's not like we thought, an open-ended excommunication. That would have been too harsh for the Rabbonin, who themselves said we're not nachdinon lenichsei. But there is a temporary type excommunication, and this is based on the Gemara elsewhere. Rashi quotes the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Yud Beis, where Shitas Rav is that a person who is excommunicated and doesn't try to get out of it for 30 days, we then lash him. The Gemara continues. And you notice we have a slash mark indicating that which follows is a new trend of thought. On the side, we have a nosei topic heading, which reads, Dino shel Rav Papa. Rav Papa's rule, Ein hanitpa shehotziu olav shtar l'shalem, a person from whom a claim is being made, and a contract or document is produced. So someone like that, is no longer ne'emon lomar poruahu. He can't say, oh, this has been paid up. Aval im to'ana nitpa shishovalo. If, however, the one being claimed from says, okay, you want me to pay with the appearance of this shtar? Well, then swear that I owe you the money. Amrinun le'la tovea shishovalo. We will say to the one trying to collect, you have to swear if you want to make your collection. The Gemara, Omar of Papa, Haiman the Apik Shtara Achavre, one who produces a shtar, a document of collection, a bill of collection, on his friend. Omar Le, the Omar Le, and the one being collected from responds, Shtara Paruahu. This is a paid up document. Amrinon Le, we say to him, Lav Kol Kaminoch Zil Shlim. It's not in your power to just to respond to a legitimate looking shtar saying it's already been paid up. You have to go and pay. The Im Omar, if the Nitba, the one from whom the money is claimed, says, Lishtabali, well then swear to me that I didn't pay you. Amrinon Le, we will tell the Tovea, the one claiming, Ishtabale, swear. There's a bracketed section. If you skip the brackets, you'll notice how the reading is smooth, and it says, Ve'i tsur ben rabbonenu, if the one laying the claim, that's placing the claim, happens to be a Torah scholar, lo mashbinan lei, we don't impose an oath on him. The Gemara will then say what kind of double standard is there? Why should that be? We'll get back to that later. We have a note on the side, a starred note that says "Achrei Asograim Hagmor Mamshicha Im Protei Dinim Akshum LeDinim Shel Rav Papa." Right after the brackets, the Gemara continues with details concerning Rav Papa's teaching. V'hainu Ma Hadin LeGabi Talmud Chacham Shemevakshim LeYishava Kedei Ligvos. What is the way we deal with a Talmud Chacham that is coming to collect and we ask of him to swear? Besochas Agram Gemara Mala Sheila. Within the brackets, the Gemara raises a question: Ma Bein Dino Shel Rav Papa LeDin Poigein B'Shtoro? There's a halacha that when one produces a document to collect, let's say the document reads you owe $1,000. And you pull out the document, say, you know, you owe me money, but you don't owe me $1,000. You only owe me $900. That's called pogein b'shtaro. B'shneim hatovea boi lishava. We know that in a situation like that, he has to swear in order to collect his $900, even though he's holding a shtar, but he himself is admitting that the shtar isn't exactly as what it says. So now, in the Gemara, Amar Lei, in the bracketed section, Amar Lei Rav Acha Brei Derava LeRavashi. Ma Uma Bein Ze LePoigem Es Shtoro. Let's take a look at the Rashi. A little more than halfway down the Rashi column. V'chi Ma Bein Ze Shelo Pogam Shtoro. Here, in our Rav Papa case, we have someone who's pulling out a shtar and saying the full amount in this shtar is what you owe me. And nevertheless, we see that if the one trying to, the one from whom the collection is being made says, I want you to swear, we tell him, well, okay, you got to swear. And here, as I said, he's coming with a shtar that's complete. There's no admission that there's any less being claimed than that which is written in the document. So the Gemara in the Rav Acha is asking, what is the difference then between a case like this and the case of Pogem Bishtoro? Disnan, Rashi continues, HaPogemis Ksubasa, a woman who has a Ksuba claim, that's the money entitlement that women have upon being divorced or becoming widowed, and the woman says that the amount written in the Ksuba is not really the amount that you owe me. The Ksuba has $1,000 written into it, and she says, well, I already received 100 of them, so you still owe me only 900. We say there, lo tifra lo bishvua, she can't collect, even though she's holding this ksuba document, she can't collect unless she swears. Ketzan hoisik ksubasa 1,000 zuz, her ksuba was 1,000 zuz, we said $1,000. V'uama is kabalt ksubasech, and the husband says back, you know, well, you received your entire ksuba, v'yomer is lois kabalt the alamona, I didn't receive the entire ksuba. I received only 100 out of the 1,000. Hayelu moides b'mona, since she admitted to having received some of it, poigemes es shara ksuba, she's in effect ruining, depreciating the shtar. The low tifra hashar, she is not entitled to collect the balance. Ela b'shvua, the lekolimis mechshua su ashtar. There's no longer a basis for relying on this document. Diklameimat fekiva. Once she's admitting she received a part of it, maybe she received more. V'hashto diamris mashbiin lo. And now that we say in our case that the person who's coming with a full-fledged shtar, nevertheless, he has to swear. Ma yofe koichoi mishim pogam eshtoro. How is he then in any better a situation than had he pogam? Means he imposed a lessening of his shtar, as we described before. The Gemara explains. Omar lei. Rav Ashi answers Rav Acha. He says, Hosam, in the case of Pogem Bishtoro, Afa Gav Delo Toyin Ihu, in a case like that, even if the Nitba, the one from whom the claim was being made, didn't say, I want you to swear, Ta'anino Le Anan, we will intervene on his behalf, and tell the Toveya, well, if you want to collect the balance, you have to swear. Hacha, in the case that Rav Papa dealt with, the person pulls out a shtar and says, you owe me the full amount of the shtar. Amrino le, we tell the nitba, zil shlim le. Guy pulls out his shtar on you, you've got to pay what it says. V'toyin v'omar shtabali, if he, the nitba, initiates, I want him to swear. Amrino le, zil shtabali. Then we say, okay, you've got to swear in order to collect. But if the nitba doesn't, the one from whom the collection is being made, doesn't say on his own, I want you to swear, we will not get involved. We, the court, will not get involved, because after all, the Toveya, the one who's making the claim, is pulling out a shtar without lessening its collection power. Now, we continue in the Gemara, v'itzurbim rabbonon hu, if the Toveya, in the case featured by Rav Papa, is a Talmud Chacham, is a Torah scholar, lo mashve'ino le. So we don't impose an oath, and we don't impose an oath on him. And what that leaves us to think is that we don't impose an oath, and the one from whom the claim is being made must pay. Because he's a Talmud Chacham, he has the right to swipe the jackets off people's backs. Ella, rather, the approach is lo mizdakekinon le ledine. If you have a Talmud Chacham pulling out a shtar saying you owe me money, and the nitba responds, he says, if you want to collect the money, then I want you to swear, we, the court, do not get involved. Rashi says, lo mizdakekinon le lehishava. We don't impose on the Talmud Chacham swear in order to collect. Demechsi dechashinon le. By doing that, it appears that we suspect him. And in order to avoid the suspicion, so we make people swear. We don't want to do that when you're dealing with the Talmud Chacham, to create the impression that we suspect him of lying. Velo, what else we don't do? Velo ligvos lo, we also don't intervene on his behalf to collect. Domar le, because after all, the one from whom the collection was being made said, ishtabali delo paratich, I want you to swear that I didn't pay you. We continue in the Gemara, and we glance, before going further, we glance at the side where we see a Nosei Mivneh heading. We also feature Roman numerals 1 and 2. On the side, we've written Shnei Lishonis, two versions, Be'inyan HaMalvis Chavero Be'edim, Ha'im Tzorch Leforo Be'edim, where a loan is extended to a borrower in the presence of witnesses. Does the payback have to be also in the presence of witnesses? The Gemara, Monoli Biotcha v'chulei Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav Asi, Hamalves Chaveru Be'edim, one who loans money to his friend in the presence of witnesses, Tzorach Leforaru Be'edim, the borrower must pay back in the presence of witnesses. And if he can't produce witnesses that he paid back, then even though he may claim he paid back, he'll have to pay again. Ki amriso kamei de Shmuel Omar li, when I said this teaching, this is Rav Yehuda speaking, Rav Yehuda quoted Rav Asi, and Rav Yehuda tells us that, well, when I said Rav Asi's teaching to Shmuel, Omar li, Shmuel said to me, Yochel lo malo, the borrower can say, Poratich b'fnei ploni v'hol chulem l'medina seyam. Yes, I paid you back in front of witnesses, and if you're going to ask me to produce those witnesses, well, I have news for you. They went abroad. Tanan. Mono li v'yodcha. Person claims, you owe me 100. Omar lo hein. And the fellow from whom the collection was being made agreed, yes. And Rashi on Daf Mem Beis Omer Aleph explains that he admitted in front of witnesses. Lamochar Omar Lo Taneoli, the next day, the collector says, well, pay me. And the gentleman responds, Nosativloch, I paid you already. Potter. He is exempt. He doesn't have to pay. Vehahacha, in this case, Kevon de Tavari Be'edim, since the initial collection was made in the presence of witnesses, and he admitted in the presence of witnesses, Keman de Oisve Be'edim Domi, it's no less than as if the initial loan was extended in the presence of witnesses. Fikotoni Potter, and it says here that the one from whom the collection was being made is exempt. According to Rav Asi that we saw just a couple lines ago, Rav Asi says that if a loan is extended in front of Edom, the payback has to be in front of Edom. And if you can't produce the Edom that saw the payback, you still have to pay. Here, we see you're exempt. The Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis, Tiufta to Rav Asi. Is this then a refutation of Rav Asi? Omar Loch Rav Asi. Rav Asi explains, Ano ki Amri, I said my halocha, when the initial handing over of the money was done in front of witnesses, delo ledidei hemne, by the fact that the initial handing over of the money was done specifically in front of witnesses, that showed from the outset that I don't fully trust this guy. Hocha, but in this case, ha hemne, the initial. In the case that was cited in the Tanaic source, the initial loan was not done in front of witnesses. That shows that the lender put faith in this guy, trusted this guy, so that his eventual response of, I paid you already, is good enough, and he doesn't have to pay. Rav Yosef Masni Hochi. And now we have a second Lashon regarding this issue of Malva is Chaver B'Edim. Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav Asi HaMalva is Chaver B'Edim Eino Tzorech Leforo B'Edim. Notice the dot underlining, it draws your attention to the original, the first version of Rav Asi, where also we had dot underlined, but there Tzorech Leforo. Here Eino tzorach leforo be'edim. The payback doesn't have to be in front of witnesses. V'im omar, if the malve, if the lender said, al tifreini elo be'edim, I want you to pay me back in front of witnesses. In other words, don't pay me back other than in front of witnesses. Tzorach leforo be'edim. Then the borrower has to pay back in front of witnesses. Kiamriso kamei de Shmuel, and Rav Yehuda says that when I said this over to Shmuel, Omar li, Shmuel said, Yochel lomar lo, the borrower can say, Poratich b'fnei ploni uploni v'holchu lahem, l'midasayam, I paid in front of witnesses, and they happen to have gone abroad, so I can't summon them to substantiate that which I paid back. As we continue in the Gemara, you'll notice a triangle is used, and on the side of the Gemara, under the Mivneh heading, this is a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track. The point facing upwards, Kushios al Shmuel. Inverted triangle, tshuva, a response. Tanan, mona li biotcha. I am claiming from you 100 that you owe me. Omar lo hein, fellow says, yes, I owe you. Omar lo, he says, Al titnehu li elo b'fnei eidim. Now that you've conceded, you've admitted that you owe me what I'm claiming, I don't want you to pay me back other than in front of witnesses. Lo mochar omar lo tneuli. The next day he says, pay me the money. Fellow responds, Nosativloch, I paid you already. chayov, mipnei shetzorach litein lo bi'edim. He has to pay. His response of I paid you already isn't good enough. He has to pay because the terms were stated, do not pay me other than in front of witnesses. Tiufta de Shmuel, is this not a refutation of Shmuel? Shmuel indicated that even if the statement or the condition was stated, the borrower can always say, I did pay you back in front of witnesses, and they went abroad. Omar loch Shmuel. Shmuel responds, Tanoihi. The issue is a machloikes tanoim. It's a tanaic controversy. And I have upon whom to base my opinion? Desanya, be'edim hilvisicha, be'edim parali. I loaned you money in front of witnesses. I want you to pay me back in front of witnesses. And the thinking right now is that this was stated at the time of the loan. O yitain, o yovi raya shenosan. So the borrower either has to pay or has to bring proof that he paid. Rabbi Yehuda ben Sira, Oimer yochol loy mar loy, poratech b'fnei ploni uploni v'holchu lahem l'medinas hayam. I paid you already in front of so-and-so, just like you said. And if you're asking me to produce that proof, well, they've gone abroad. So this the position of Rav Yehuda ben Maaseirah is like Shmuel. Porich Rav Acha. Rav Acha raises a question. Mimai de b'shas havokoi. Who says that this case was at the time of the initial halva? Dilma b'shas tviya koi. So Rav Acha is suggesting, contrary to what we thought, that the source we just read with Rav Yehuda ben Maaseirah was describing the person who stated his conditions at the time of the initial loan. Maybe not so. Dilma b'shas tviya koi. Maybe this source is recording what happened at the time the lender places his claim, his request for collection. V'hochi ko'omar lei, and thusly the lender is saying, lav bi'edim hilvisicha. Is it not so that originally when I loaned the money to you, I loaned it to you in front of witnesses? Be'edim hoya l'cha l'for'ani. You should have paid me back in front of witnesses. Avol b'shas halva, if this had taken place at the time of the initial loan, in other words, not like Rav Acha is saying now. In other words, Rav Acha is saying what the source is in fact talking about. But had the case been different, that at the time of the loan, the condition was spelled out, I am loaning you in front of witnesses, you must pay me back in front of witnesses. The very case that Rav Asi had described above, to which Shmuel disagreed, then Divrei HaKol, everyone, even Rav Yehuda ben Maaseirah, would say, Chayov, that you have to pay back if you can't produce the witnesses. And that would be unlike Shmuel. So that according to Rav Acha's suggestion, the source upon which Shmuel was trying to base himself, i.e., finding support in the likes of Rav Yehuda ben Maaseirah, no, that source wasn't talking about the circumstances concerning which Shmuel made his comment of Yocholom alo pratich b'fnei ploni ploni b'hocholim b'diasayam, because the source that was just cited was a case where the malve reminded the lova what at the time that I had loaned you the money, if you remember, there had been witnesses, and therefore you should have paid me back in front of witnesses. But we don't see from that source a case where at the initial extension of the money, it was stipulated that the payback must be in front of witnesses. Had that been the case, then even Rav Yehuda ben Becerra would not have said that the borrower could answer back, well, the witnesses, I paid you back in front of witnesses, but they went abroad. No way. Omar Rav Popi Mishmei de Rava. Hilchasa. Hamalvis Chaveru Be'edim. Tzorach Leforo Be'edim. Rav Popi in the name of Rava. You'll see here there are two deos, and on the side of the Gemara we indicate that the diamond represents shtei deos b'divrei Rava bin Hamalvis Chaveru Be'edim. Itzorach Leforo Be'edim. So Rav Popi's version is that when an initial loan is made in the presence of witnesses, the payback must be in front of witnesses. For Rav Popa Mishmei de Rava Omar Hamalvis Chaveru Be'edim Ein Tzorach Leforo Be'edim. The fact that the initial loan was in the presence of witnesses does not force or mandate that the payback must be in front of witnesses. The Im Omar Al Tifreni El Be'edim, if the lender, the toivea who's collecting, had said payback cannot be made other than in front of witnesses, tzorach leforo be'edim, then the borrower has to see to it that the payback is made in their presence, in the presence of witnesses. V'im omar lo, if the borrower responds paratich b'fnei ploni ploni v'holchu lehem dir sayam, well, here you have a problem in the Gemara. The Girsa we have is Ne'eman. He would be believed. That would be like Shmuel. And there is, however, another Girsa that says Eino Ne'eman. And that would be in line with the question raised above by Rav Acha, which seemed to dismiss Shmuel's ruling. Whatever case, you can see from the Gemara that that issue of what kind of response or potential response does the nitba have, that is shoni b'machlokis in terms of the gersois. Before we go further, we want to note that the next two lines of Gemara represent a simen. That means a type of memory device, which is stated here in anticipation of a series of cases which will be introduced each time in our marked Gemaras with a house mark. And by the way, if you don't have a marked Gemara and you need to access one, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. On the side, under the Mivneh heading, we feature a house shape and indicate Sidra Shel Tvios Sukfiros. There's a series of claims and denials. So a series of cases will be featured. Now the simen, as we said, there are quite a few words here. If you count them, you'll count up to 8 different words. And if you skim ahead in the Gemara, going down a good measure of Daf Mem Beis and Aleph, you'll notice that we have 8 house markings. Simen Ruvein v'Shimon Detonu Hilchasa Yasvi Upara Ploni Uploni Aftzi Sitroi Be'Nusa Kebeitrei. Hahu di omale lechavrei. Man says to his friend, ki paratin parin li ba'api Ruvain v'Shimon. When you pay me back in front of Ruvain and Shimon. Ozal upare ba'api trei ma'almo. The borrower went and paid back in front of two others. And the tovea, the one seeking collection, the lender says, oh, those guys, they're liars. Omar abaye ba'api be'trei omale ba'api be'trei pare. Abaye says, the borrower, the lender doesn't have a claim against the borrower. The lender said, pay me back in front of two, and payback was made in front of two. Omar le Rava. Rava disagrees. He says, lahachi ka omar le ba'api Ruvain v'Shimon. The reason that the lender specified pay me back in front of Ruvain and Shimon, ki hechi de lo nidche, so as to prevent the borrower from pushing him off. In other words, the lender spelled out very specific conditions, and that, in fact, was not met in this case. Hahu di omar le lechavrei. fellow said to his friend, Kipar asli parinli ba'api beitrei detonu hilchasa. When you pay me back, I insist that you pay me back in front of two people that are learned. Omar ozal pare bein delay ledelay. The borrower paid back in private between himself and the lender. Isnisu hanavzuzi. The money that the lender received got lost beyond his control. An oinus happened, and he lost the money. Also, lekamei de Rav Nachman. This case came to Rav Nachman. Omale, the Toveya said, in kibuli kibaltinu, minei. Yes, I received money from him. Derech pikodon. I received it as a watchman, as a bailey, as an entrusted item. And as such, my responsibilities are not any more than an unpaid bailey. And that means that only if he behaved irresponsibly with regard to him, we call that poshea, only then would such an individual, such a shomer, be obligated to compensate. But in the case, notice we dashed underlined the word isnisu, just the line above, which indicates it was an onus. It wasn't something that it was a function. The loss wasn't a result of irresponsibility. Ve'amina, and the Toveya continues telling us, and he says, and I said, Leve gaboy pikodon, I'll hold on to the money as an entrusted sum, adim isramu beitrei detonu hilchasa, until two learned people come by, umekayim tanoi, and then the condition will be fulfilled. So, in the meantime, then, this Toveya is saying that as a lender of money, I did not get the debt paid back to me. Omar Le, Rav Nachman responds, this takes a couple of lines, Kevon de Komoides, since you, the lender himself, you yourself are Moda, concede, de Vade Shaklasinu Mine, that you definitely took the money from him, from the lender, Peroin Me'alyo Havi, it's considered a full-fledged payback of the loan. He amris the kume tanoi, and if you're insisting on the fulfillment of the conditions, zeal, I seen who, go bring them. Deho anov Rav Sheshes, here, you've got myself, and Rav Sheshes is over here, the tanina hilchasov, v'sifra, v'sifri, v'toysefta, v'kule gemara. You have us, we've learned all of the Torah, and here the Gemara lists off different areas of Torah learning, Mishnayos and Midrashim and Brises, and then all of the Gemara, all of the Shas. And Tosfos adds over here, Rav Sheshes was being sarcastic, Rav Nachman was simply being sarcastic with him, and said, listen, buddy, you got your money, the condition that you stated in under these circumstances is quite irrelevant, and if you're really insistent on it, well, you're not going to do any better than the two of us. You got Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes, we're right over here, and you can have your condition, and your condition is thereby fulfilled. But as we say, quoting the Tosfos, he said that, b'dichuso bi'alma hu dekoma hadilei, a mere sarcasm, if you will. The Gemara continues, Hahu d'amar leila chavrei, havli mea zuzi de'oziv toch. Give me back, pay me back the 100 zuz. Zuz is a sum of money, a denomination of money. Give me the 100 zuz, or if you prefer, $100 that I loaned you. Omar le, the nitba, the one from whom the collection was sought, responded, lo hoyu dvorim elam. It's such a thing never happened. There was never a loan that I received from you. Ozal, the Toveya, went, Isi Sadi, he brought witnesses, the Oisve Upare, that testify that yes, a loan was extended, and the loan was paid up. Omar Abaye, my Navud, Rabbi says, well, how are we going to rule here? Inhu Amri Osve, Inhu Amri Pare. Those very witnesses that say that a loan was extended, they also testify that it was paid up. Rava Omar, Kol HaOmer Lo Lavisi, Anyone who says, I didn't borrow, in this case, the nitba, the one from whom collection was being made, said, Lohoy Vermem, I never borrowed any money. Anyone who says, I never borrowed, now, is ka'oimer lo porati domi. It's tantamount to his confessing that I didn't pay it up. Let's take a look at Rashi together. Ka'oimer lo porati domi. We're looking at Rashi about halfway down the narrow column of Rashi. The kevon de lo lova lafi diburo, since according to his own words he never borrowed. Well, if someone never borrowed, lo para, he never paid up. Vareyesh eden shelova, there are witnesses that he did borrow. Ne'monim heim al halva, the witnesses have believability regarding the initial loan. A loan did take place. V'eino ne'monim al piron, they're not believed with regard to the payback. The borrower himself, the one from whom the claim was being made himself, is saying, I did not pay back. So their testimony of the loan was paid up isn't stronger than his own admission that he did not pay up. True, he didn't use those words, but Rava tells us a rule that anyone who says, I didn't borrow, and we have to add, and we have a case where the loan had taken place, we have testimony to that effect, it's tantamount to his saying, I didn't pay it up. And the principle, the rule of hoidoas baldin, the admission of the defendant or the litigant, is kameo edim domi, it's as if 100 witnesses are testifying to that effect. The Gemara continues, Hahu domer leila chavrei, Hav li me'azuzi demasikna boch. I want you to give me the 100 zuz that I am collecting from you. Omar le, the nitba says, the one from whom the collection is being made responds, lo poratuch bifnei ploni ploni, did I not pay you back in front of so and so and so and so? Asu ploni uploni amri, those so and so came and said, lo hoyu dvorim me'olam. It never happened. Rashi says, he never paid back in front of us. The nitba is saying, oh, b'fneim, oh, shalom, b'fneim, whether it was in front of them or not, but paratich, I paid you up. Sova Rav Sheshis lemeimar, Rav Sheshis thought to rule here, huchsuk kafron, this guy has shown us, demonstrated to us that he is a liar. And he's not believed. And Rashi says he's not believed even with an oath to say that I paid you up. That I paid you up not in front of them. Because he said I paid in front of them and they are testifying to the contrary. The Gemara continues. Omar le Rava. Kol milsa de l'ram yole de inish lav adate. We've seen this principle in the past. First, we'll give an approximate translation, and that is that kol milsa, all matters that are not upon you, that are not urgent for you, that's de l'ram yole de inish lav adate. People don't pay full attention. They're not fully aware. Now, that's a rough translation, but how do we apply this over here? So now we look at the Rashi. Kol milsa, and this is, of course, Rava's response to Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes said that the borrower is considered a liar and we can't accept even an oath from him. And Rava says, and we continue with the Rashi, Kol milsa de l'ram yo'olei d'inish, kegoin zeh, Shelohoya loy lomar paratich bi'edim. This guy, the borrower, he didn't have to say, or he shouldn't have said, I paid you in front of witnesses. Shelo omar lo ze b'shas havo bi'edim parali. The malveh, the one who loaned the money, he didn't stipulate at the time of the loan, pay me back in front of witnesses. Hilkach lo sam libo lizkor im be'edim pora im shelo be'edim. Therefore, when he was paying back, There was no sense of urgency upon him to make sure there were witnesses. So he didn't pay attention to remember whether there were witnesses there or not. V'yomar b'yedin poratich, and he blurted out, I paid you in front of witnesses. V'lav adatei, and he wasn't fully cognizant of the surroundings of the situation. V'yenu huchsu kafron b'kach. This does not make a person into a liar. So that if we take Rava's observation or his rule and apply it here, we understand that since there wasn't any stipulation at the outset that payback must be made in front of witnesses, the whole issue of witness presence is in the realm of milsa de lo ram yole dinish. It's not something that is urgent upon him, upon the borrower to care about. And therefore, when he said, well, didn't I pay you back in front of so-and-so and so-and-so, that wasn't something that he was necessarily focused on. He thought they were there. They say they weren't there, but it wasn't something that the borrower was really concentrating on. And when it turns out that they come and say we were never happened in front of us, that doesn't make the borrower into a liar. We continue in the Gemara. Hahu diomar le l'chavrei. Havli shisme azuzi demasik naboch. I want you to pay me the 600 zuz that you owe me. Omar le velo poratich meo kavi. We continue at the top of Mem Beis Amud Aleph. Aftzi dekaimi b'shisa shisa. The borrower responds, did I not pay you back 100 kav? Kav is a measure. 100 kav of afsi. Afsi is a chemical. It's used for tanning leather. And each kav was worth 6 zuz. So 100 kav, each kav worth 6 zuz is a total of 600 zuz in value. So once again, man is claiming, you owe me 600 zuz. The borrower is responding, but didn't I pay you back in value? Didn't I pay you back the 100 kav of afsi, whose value total value was 600 zuz? Amale, so the lender says, lav be'arbo arbo avukami. Wasn't it really 4 zuz per kav? In other words, you didn't pay me back the full amount that you owe me. You paid me back, at best, you paid me back 400 zuz in value. Also, tre sadi of Yomru. Two witnesses came and declared, in ba'arba arba havu kaimi. They were the afsi, the chemicals, that those afsi chemical, the afsi chemical was, in fact, like the lender claims, 4 zuz per kav. And here you have a case that the borrower was saying, 6 zuz per kav, and therefore I don't owe you anything. Omar Rava huchsuk kafron. Rava says this borrower, the nitba, is now demonstrated as revealed to be a liar. He said 6, and the witnesses say it was only 4 zuz per kav, and therefore this borrower is still chayev. Is still obligated to pay what he owes. Omar Rami Bar Chama, Ho Amris, Rami Bar Chama says to Rava, but didn't you say, Kol milsa de lo ram yole dinish lav adate? Let's take a look at Rashi on the third line from the top. De lo ram yole dinish, v'hai nami, this too, lo ram yole. It's not incumbent upon him, lomar be'eze inyin porom, how exactly he paid back the money. And the parate stamo. All that was necessary for the borrower to say is, I paid you up. Hilkuch lo niskar. Therefore, he didn't remember the details. V'sofur shikach hashar. And he thought that at the time that he paid back, that was the rate. 6 zuz per kavalo. Uchsit kafron. And he's not a liar. V'nishba sheporom mikomakom, and he is able to swear, not like we would categorize a huchsu kafran, someone who's a demonstrated liar, would not be able to swear, but rather he is able to swear that he paid up. At least he paid up the 400 zuz of the 600 zuz debt. Omar le Rava. Rava, however, responds, Kitsutsa de Tara midkar de chiri inshi. When you're dealing with the rate, the fixed rate of items, Tara is an Aramaic word for shar. Shar means the rate. So fixed rates of items, people remember. So that if he is telling us that I paid you up everything, because I paid you 100 kav of aftzi, and each kav was worth 6 zuz, that's not a function of someone who is nebulous, who isn't concerned with detail. Because when you mention fixed rates of items, you are well aware of detail. And he was insisting that I paid you in full because each kav was worth 6 zuz. Two witnesses come and show you're lying. It wasn't 6 zuz. There were only 4 zuz per kav. And as Rava ruled before, the nitba is a kafron and he will have to pay, and we won't accept any shvua. And as far as I understand the case then, since the tovea himself agreed that he had received 400 of the 600 zuz in value, the balance of 200 will still be still outstanding and needs to be paid by the nitba. And since he's huchsa kafron, an oath that he would take would not be accepted. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.